I want you to imagine walking into your local veterinarian's office, with your dog.
Right, just a normal checkup.
Yeah, exactly. You're sitting there in the exam room, petting your dog, and tucked in the corner is this sleek, humming medical machine.
Like maybe a high-definition ultrasound?
Yeah, or like a digital radiography unit. And what you probably don't know, sitting there, is that the sticker price on that machine is, well, it's practically an illusion.
Completely.
And the way that machine was, selected, financed, and maintained, it actually represents this massive hidden war currently tearing the veterinary industry in two.
It really does.
So today on the Deep Dive, we have a document on the table that exposes this whole invisible battleground. It's an incredibly insightful report titled Veterinary Equipment Costs: Corporate versus Independent Hospitals.
Yeah, and at first glance, this sounds like a pretty dry accounting topic.
Right, like staring at
Yeah,
spreadsheets.
exactly. It looks like a standard financial ledger. But what's fascinating here is that it actually reads like a strategic playbook. It's a window into the psychology of business strategy and risk.
And it ultimately dictates how our beloved pets actually get their care.
It really does. It outlines two entirely different operational philosophies.
Okay, let's unpack this. To understand the stakes here, I want to use an analogy outside the medical world entirely. Imagine you're buying a vehicle,
Okay,
right?
I'm with you.
A massive delivery company. They need vehicles. So they buy hundreds of identical basic vans at a massive bulk discount.
Right, standard fleet.
Exactly. But then you have a local off-road tour guide. They need one highly customized, really expensive Jeep.
Because of the terrain.
Yeah. They are both technically buying vehicles, but the math, the risk, and the actual purpose are completely different.
That is a perfect way to look at it. The clinical environment operates on that exact same divide. The cost comparison between a corporate vet network and a local independent clinic, it isn't just a matter of who gets a better deal on an invoice.
Right. It's not just clipping coupons.
No, not at all. It reflects structural differences in how equipment is selected, how it's financed, where it gets deployed, and honestly, how it's measured over time.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning of that equipment life cycle. Like the moment a clinic decides they need a new machine.
The procurement phase.
Yeah, procurement. The source material talks about this paradox where the sheer size of a hospital dictates what they're even allowed to buy.
Right, so that is the centralized purchasing model in action. Corporate veterinary groups, they buy in volume, much like your delivery van analogy.
So they're buying for dozens or hundreds of clinics all at once.
Exactly. And because of that scale, they walk into a vendor negotiation with immense leverage. They demand volume-based contracts.
Which means huge discounts.
Huge discounts. They negotiate lower unit pricing, bundled service agreements, and extended warranties for the whole fleet. But, and this is a big but, the trade-off is strict standardization.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting. Wait, so corporate vets are essentially trading medical freedom for a bulk discount.
In a way, yes.
Does that mean an independent vet might actually have better or at least more specialized gear because they aren't tied to some corporate approved list?
That is exactly what it means. Clinical teams in corporate environments often have to use pre-approved vendors and very specific configurations. They sacrifice a bit of clinical autonomy for operational efficiency. Customization, which the independents do, enables specialized care.
Wow. Okay. So if an independent vet wants to buy a highly niche, emerging technology because it fits their specific neighborhood.
They can just buy it. They have that strategic flexibility. They pay a higher upfront cost because they don't have the bulk discount, but they get exactly what they need.
Which is great for the patients, but wait. If independent hospitals are paying more upfront for specialized gear, they must be going broke.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah. I mean, unless the upfront cost isn't the whole story.
And it absolutely isn't. The initial sticker price is really just the tip of the iceberg. To evaluate real survival, you have to look at total cost of ownership, or TCO.
TCO. Okay, let's deconstruct that.
Right.
Because I imagine the machine itself is just the beginning.
Oh, it is. TCO is the true metric. It includes installation, maybe modifying the facility. Then there's training expenses.
Paying staff to learn the machine instead of seeing patients.
Exactly. Then you got software licenses, maintenance frequency, and consumables.
Hold on, consumable. So it's like the razor and blades model,
Yeah.
or like buying a cheap printer, but the ink bankrupts you.
That is the perfect analogy. The manufacturer sells you the ultrasound or the surgical tool, but you have to buy their proprietary sterile tips or imaging gels for every single procedure.
Man, that adds up fast.
It does. But even worse than consumables is the massive hidden cost of downtime.
Oh, right. Like when the machine just breaks.
Yeah. If a cheap machine breaks down on a busy Friday, you aren't just paying for the repair, you are canceling procedures.
So a cheap machine with poor reliability actually costs way more per procedure than an expensive, reliable one.
Exactly. And this leads us to the absolute primary driver of equipment cost efficiency, which is the utilization rate.
Utilization rate. So just how often the thing is actually turned on and being used.
Right. How many times a day are you scanning a patient? Corporate hubs actually solve this by routing specific complex cases from smaller clinics to regional centers.
Oh, wow. So they guarantee the machine is always running.
Yes. They ensure high utilization, but independence, they rely entirely on their own local foot traffic.
It's like buying a $1,000 treadmill, right?
Yeah.
If you run on it every day for 5 years, it's incredibly cheap per run.
Pennies per run, yeah.
But if it just becomes a very expensive coat rack in your bedroom, you've lost money regardless of the great deal you got at the store.
Exactly. And the biggest risk for independence is what the report calls over-specification.
Over-specification, like buying too much machine.
Yes. Buying equipment with capabilities that far exceed their actual clinical needs. A vendor comes in with a shiny brochure, and the vet buys a premium model with advanced features they'll rarely use.
So they're paying for complex maintenance on features they don't even need.
Exactly. It's a huge danger.
Okay, so if utilization is the key to surviving the true cost of ownership, how do these two types of hospitals handle the immense financial risk of a machine just sitting there idle?
Well, it comes down to financing. Corporate networks, they distribute risk. They use operating leases and structured CapEx capital expenditure planning across multiple fiscal periods.
So they spread the hit out.
Right. And because they have so many locations, one underperforming asset doesn't sink the whole network.
A busy clinic in one state subsidizes a slow clinic in another.
Exactly. But independents, they usually concentrate risk. They use cash or take out a loan for a single facility.
So they bear the entire risk right there. If the machine fails, they eat the whole cost.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the corporate networks have an unfair advantage, which is data.
Data, of course.
Yeah. Corporate systems track the cost per procedure, the utilization rates, and maintenance trends across hundreds of clinics.
So they actually know exactly when a machine is going to fail or when it's paid for itself.
Yes. They go to the vendor and say, we know this part breaks at exactly 400 uses.
Wow.
Yeah, so they demand better warranties. Wow. Meanwhile, independents are basically operating in the dark. They have to rely on generic estimates and, you know, projections.
Okay, so I have to ask, what does this all mean for the independent clinic? I mean, if they don't have the data, they don't have the scale or the safety net, are they just doomed to make riskier financial decisions?
Well, they would be, but there's a way they survive and actually thrive. They level the playing field by partnering with specialized distributors.
Okay, how does that work?
The report highlights a company called Bowmind as a prime example. These distributors basically bridge the gap. Instead of forcing broad corporate standardization, Bowmind focuses on clinical alignment.
Clinical alignment, what does that actually look like in practice?
It means they match the exact equipment specs to the independent clinic's specific use cases and workflows.
So they come in and say, hey, you see mostly senior cats. You don't need the $100,000 surgical laser.
Exactly. They provide the deep, granular product knowledge that the clinic just doesn't have on its own. It prevents that over-specification we talked about.
Okay, that makes sense. So they act kind of like an advisory board.
Yeah, and it helps them shift from reactive to proactive lifecycle planning.
Oh, right, because an independent might just run a machine until it literally catches fire.
Right, they wait for it to break or become obsolete. But corporates plan replacements in phases. Tailored partners like BowMyMed help independents do that too. They plan for the machine's entire lifecycle.
I see. But it sounds like BowMed acts almost like a rented corporate strategy arm for the independent vet.
That's a good way to put it.
But doesn't relying on a specialized vendor introduce a different risk? Like, what if that vendor service response time is just incredibly slow? They don't have the leverage of a massive corporate contract to force the vendor to show up.
That is a very real vulnerability. And the source material explicitly warns about this. Vendor reliability, response time, and software support dictate long-term costs just as much as the machine itself.
Because if the vendor takes 3 days to fix it, your downtime skyrockets.
Exactly. It's a huge risk.
And it really is a tightrope walk for these independent vets.
It definitely is.
So as we kind of pull all these threads together for you listening, Comparing equipment costs isn't just a math problem.
Right.
It's an operational philosophy.
Very much so.
Corporate optimizes for scale, efficiency, and consistency, while independents, they optimize for precision, adaptability, and customized clinical alignment.
Yeah, neither is inherently wrong. They just play by completely different rules. And this raises an important question. How does the equipment actually fit into the clinic? Because the true cost is defined by its integration into daily clinical workflows.
Right. Does it make the staff's life easier or harder?
Exactly. A poorly integrated machine is a costly machine, no matter who bought it or how big the discount was.
Yeah, if nobody knows how to use it, it's just a giant paperweight.
A very expensive paperweight.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final lingering idea to mull over. We've talked about how data is this ultimate corporate weapon for predicting utilization and costs.
Right, the biggest advantage.
Yeah. And the source notes that future cost strategies will heavily depend on data integration. So could we see a future where independent hospitals begin forming data co-ops?
Oh, wow. That's an interesting concept.
Right. Imagine fiercely independent clinics who want nothing to do with corporate buyouts, but they pool their anonymized equipment usage data together.
So they aren't merging businesses, just sharing analytics.
Exactly. They crowdsource the exact same analytics corporate networks use, effectively stealing the corporate playbook to protect their independent freedom.
That would completely change the power dynamic.
It really would. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Next time you see a high-tech machine humming away in any local business, we hope you think a little differently about how it got there. Have a great day, everyone.